Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and celebrate this Children's Sabbath with you all. I wanted to say this stole was gifted to me when I was ordained by a group of people who loved me as a child. I don't know how you do it. I'd get too attached. Don't those kids all have some problems? Do you get to keep them? How will you know for sure that they won't have issues down the road? These questions and statements are things that foster parents get confronted with all the time. People mean well when they ask, most of the time, but they really only scratch at the surface of what goes on in the foster care system. First off, attachment is always a good thing. No parent or caregiver, whether adoptive, foster, or biological, can predict the future strengths or struggles of their children. But we all work hard to nurture our children and help them grow into whomever they are going to be. And it's important to distinguish between foster care and adoption, for they have two different purposes. Adoption for a child brings the possibility of permanency when a child needs a family to stick with them through the ups and downs of life. While foster care is meant to be temporary, the goal for a family when their child is in foster care is to find a way to bring the family back together. The professional team surrounding the family works to set up safety and stability within the family of origin so that the child can be returned. The foster family is there to care for the child in the interim, while the family of origin prepares for their return. The foster family can act as a mentor or cheerleader for the first family, an advocate for the child, and a long-term support for that family once they are returned. Getting attached is part of the gig. Attachment theory supposes that attachment to at least one caregiver and is critical for the overall development of a child, and it's actually seen as a strength of a child if they are able to attach to a new caregiver. A foster parent must become an expert in grief and loss very quickly. The child will first feel loss at the moment they are removed from their first family, and again, they'll feel some loss when they leave the foster family's daily routines and customs, when they're reunited with their family. Becoming attached is typically easy. Saying goodbye is still hard. I still remember the way I felt waiting to meet each of our 9 kids for the very first time. And I still remember how I felt to load up the car with a child's belongings and drive them over to their parents' home. But we say goodbye all the time in our lives. Moving to a new neighborhood, changing jobs or schools, through a breakup or the loss of a loved one. The separation and loss hurt because we have allowed ourselves to be open to feeling love. It doesn't mean we shouldn't love again or shouldn't connect with new people. It means that we have allowed ourselves to use our whole hearts. We can feel both joy and sorrow at the same time. These are not my words, but I'll share them with you. Foster care means choosing the pain of a great loss if it means a child has received the gain of a great love. Children are our most vulnerable population. What happens in a child's early years sets them up for the rest of their lives in positive and negative ways. A study done by Kaiser Permanente in California in the mid-1990s found that individuals who had more adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, are more prone to issues in their overall development, face chronic health issues for the rest of their lives, including heart disease, diabetes, and even premature death. These ACEs go back to pregnancy, and range from exposure to domestic violence, substance abuse in the home, neglect, or physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. Children who experience trauma grow into adults who have been traumatized. When we are in community with individuals who seem to behave contrary to social expectations, we need to reframe the question from "what's wrong with you" and turn it into "what happened to you." When we do this, we can enter into our interactions with compassion instead of judgment. The abuse a child can experience in their home, within their family, can be shocking, but so can all of the external things that this world throws at a child. Community violence, inadequate housing, terror of gun violence, in the home or in the school, and hunger. My point today, though, is not that we should all just shrug our shoulders and accept that bad things happen to precious children. What I hope to convey, and what I think the children have worked really hard today to convey, is that we're called to stand up against those who seek to wield their power to set their own oppressive agenda, for us to be a balm where we can, and to walk alongside those who are weary from the struggle. In our text today, James and John were attempting to score the very best seats right next to Jesus. They felt as though status and power were the goal. We are tempted by the same things every day. But Jesus tells his disciples, as well as us, that the kingdom of God belongs to those who have no power, those without prestige. He is asking his disciples to drink from the cup and be baptized with him. And indirectly, he's asking them to endure suffering with him. In multiple places in the Gospels, Jesus emphasizes that to follow Christ is to serve the world. The children in our nation need help, just as Black, Latino, and poor individuals are grossly overrepresented in our nation's prison system. They are also overrepresented in the child welfare system. Being born poor should not be the reason that someone is likely to experience hardship or abuse or injustice in the justice system. Our nation has the resources to give children what they need. But policies and precedent operate out of reaction rather than being proactive. Children should not be terrorized by gun violence. They should not be separated unjustly from their parents at the borders. They should not go to bed hungry. We are here and we are called to be servants, to share what we have, to walk alongside those who need us, and to stand up against the powers that attempt to spread hate and fear. Greatness does not come from one's social status or power. Jesus has to tell his disciples, and us, several times, we still haven't gotten it yet, that what the world sees as greatness is not what God sees as greatness. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. As I was preparing for today, I also began listening to the audiobook of Brené Brown's work, Daring Greatly. One section of her book really resonated with me, with this idea of being servant leaders and with flipping our culture's obsession with seeking power and status above all else. In her book, she gives a guidepost or a list of 10 guideposts for wholehearted living. I'll share three. And they call us to cultivate certain characteristics and then let go of others. Cultivate play and rest and let go of exhaustion as a status symbol. Children are the best at playing. It's their full-time job. As we grow older, we don't allow ourselves to take time to just play without a purpose. multitasking and cramming in as many photo ops and experiences as possible has left us all sleep-deprived and a little grumpy. Cultivate authenticity and let go of what people think. Letting go of what people think, obviously, much easier to do, or much easier to say than actually do. Being okay with who we are has become practically impossible. Because every image hurled at us in magazines, on TV, and social media are made of seamlessly choreographed perfection. Have you seen these Instagram photos where someone has like created the perfect bite of food to eat? But then if you, so it's like a perfect little image, but then if you pan out, it's like messy tables, dishes, everything else all around it. We crop out all the yuck and we just present, you know, what we can that we think is truly perfect. We take 10 pictures on our phone and only upload one because it captures the right smile, the right sunlight, the right image we're trying to convey. But when we cultivate authenticity, we present our realness and we accept the realness of others. If we're living our most authentic life, if we were all living our most authentic life, the company that makes Spanx would probably be in Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Cultivate meaningful work and let go of self-doubt and supposed to. Meaningful work, your vocation, your calling. Find where your passion meets the needs of the world. What do you do in your daily life that excites you? How can you harness that feeling and share it with others? When I was growing up, I thought the way I could make the world a better place was to become a minister. After attending seminary and then working in social services and finally in child welfare, I truly found the place where I could minister to a need in the world. Maybe being a full-time foster parent isn't for you. There's still plenty of other ways to get involved in the child welfare system at the local level. Donating to organizations like Families Helping Families is one way. You could fix a meal or help foster parents gather supplies when they get a new placement. You could go through the process of becoming a respite care provider to provide respite care for families you already know. You could volunteer to help with daycare during those first few days of a placement when it can be difficult to secure care right away. You could become a court-appointed special advocate, or CASA, for a child who is involved in the juvenile justice system. Even donating suitcases to a local organization can be helpful so that kids don't have to move their things from house to house in black trash bags, which is all too common. These examples, along with prayer for one another, are ways that a church can surround a child with love and nurturing, making connections that will last a lifetime. We all have different gifts and graces, and when we allow ourselves to be open to being led by the Spirit, we can meet the needs of our precious children. If we want things to change, we have to do things differently. If we want things to be better for future generations, we have to pay attention to our children's experiences. As Christ seekers, we are called to this way of living, not because it's easy, but because it gives us meaning out of the chaos. By letting go of our quest for status, we are open to reach out to a world in need. Amen.